What's happening, Chattanooga? Scott Van Pelt here. More Press Row with Jay Greason and David Paschal now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone and ESPNChattanooga.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Paschal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Tuesday. This 5 o'clock hour of Press Row is brought to you by American Air HVAC. American Air HVAC provides Chattanooga and its surrounding areas with the best HVAC service. See what American Air HVAC can do for you. Call them at 423-238-6848. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome in on the Hardee's Hotline, Ben Baby of the Dallas Morning News does a fantastic job covering the Texas A&M Aggies, who host Tennessee this week in the big showdown in the SEC. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Doing well, and thanks for the kind words, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. I know Kevin Sumlin is not overly fond of discussing injuries. I know he had a media session today. What is the latest on Myles Garrett, Speedy Noel, and Ricky Seals-Jones, who didn't even make the trip to Columbia?
No, I don't really, you know, that's a good question. I think they started off the press conference by the sports information director at A&M, I guess the PR guy, essentially said Kevin Sumlin wouldn't discuss injuries, which is something he doesn't do. But if I was a betting person, I would say that you're going to see Myles Garrett, you're going to see Speedy Noel, you're going to see Jermaine Illuminor, A&M starting right tackle. You'll see Keith Ford, Travion Williams, the two running backs. And the only person you won't see is Ricky Seals-Jones, who I'm guessing probably has a left ankle sprain, but we don't really have a good idea of what. Kevin Sumlin just doesn't enjoy speaking about injuries, and I don't really blame him. I mean, if you can give the other team, you know, a disadvantage in not talking about your injuries, I get it. I think it angers a lot of fans and media members. I mean, we'd like to know what's going on, but I think Tennessee fans should expect to see A&M's best players on Saturday.
All right, Ben, it's kind of one of those here we are again, Texas A&M's 5-0 entering October. But, I mean, it seems like this team is built a little different. I mean, would you agree with that? And would you say it's more because of Trevor Knight's stability at quarterback, Johnny Chavis in his second year as defensive coordinator? What do you think would be the main reason why this Texas A&M's team seems a little more solid than its predecessors, if indeed it does seem that way to you?
You know, I think it does seem a little bit more solid. I think y'all are definitely correct in that. But I would say I think a lot of it has to do with John Chavis in his second year. I mean, y'all are plenty familiar with what he did at Tennessee and, you know, then at LSU. But A&M's defense has really flourished under him in his second year. And what they've really improved on is stopping the run. They were giving up, you know, over 5 yards of carry last year, and it was one of the worst run D's in the SEC. That's came down a ton. And then you look at A&M's rushing attack and the same, you know, if you flip it on the other side of the ball, Keith Ford, an Oklahoma transfer, he's been basically the power back for A&M who can still, you know, break off a 20, 30-yard run. But Travion Williams, the freshman, true freshman, has the breakaway speed. That's changed games for A&M, you know, against South Carolina and against Auburn and even against Arkansas. Travion Williams has had a big touchdown to kind of help the A&M offense get going or put the other team away. So if you had to boil it down, I think the two big things are A&M's run defense, how much that's improved, how much A&M's run game has improved. And then Trevor Knight has done a good job of keeping the turnovers down, something he couldn't do at Oklahoma.
Ben, what is this team's biggest weakness? If this team had a weakness, what would you say it is?
Ooh, the offense can look stagnant at times. You know, I think, you know, Kevin Sumlin put it best, you know, when he said Trevor Knight, you know, stat-wise is a pretty mediocre quarterback, and he's correct. You know, Trevor's really never had a very high completion percentage, and it's been around, you know, the mid-50s, which isn't great, and it's still that way at A&M. You know, but they found a way to move the ball under offensive coordinator Noel Mazzone, who came up from UCLA. But the secondary, that'll be really interesting to see what Josh Dobbs does against that A&M secondary. They've had moments where they've looked suspect at times, and specifically the cornerbacks. A&M safeties are very good, but Arkansas had a knack for picking on the A&M corners, specifically cornerback Nick Harvey. You know, and that's one area that, you know, we were wondering about going into last week, and, you know, they weren't tested that much. South Carolina isn't very good, so you weren't going to see a whole lot there. But I'm interested to see what Dobbs does and what Tennessee does against those corners.
You're listening to Ben Baby of the Dallas Morning News, covers Texas A&M for the paper. You can follow him on Twitter, the at symbol BEN_BABY. You're listening to Ben on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Ben, have you allowed yourself to take a step back and look at this team in the sense of how the razor's edge of riding high and hot seats in college football can be, considering one or two plays in UCLA goes differently, one or two plays in Auburn goes differently, certainly the fourth down run against Arkansas could go differently, and this team is maybe 2-3, and we're wondering if Kevin Sumlin survives, and now they're 3 weeks away from holding their own cards in the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's really weird. I was asking one of the A&M defensive tackles, Kingsley Peakey, about that. I said, does it go from, I mean, they were at the beginning of the year basically having to ignore everyone saying that they were garbage, and now they've got to ignore everyone saying, oh, they might be, you know, one of the best teams in the SEC, which is, you know, that's how college football is. It's a weird business and a weird game. I mean, you look at Les Miles. I mean, if Danny Etling gets the ball off in time against Auburn, I mean, Les Miles might still have his job, and now they lose Auburn, Les gets canned, and, you know, it's just the way it goes. And so it is interesting to see how things kind of can flip with just a couple plays. And A&M, you know, I think they've been the better team in all those games. And so I think the right team won for the most part in those contests. But, yeah, Kevin Sumlin went from a guy who people were wondering if he was going to stick around for next season, to, you know, a guy that, you know, as someone wrote, might be a candidate for SEC Coach of the Year, depending on how things go. But the big question is, you know, A&M's done this before. They've been 5-0. And on the calendar at the beginning of the year, I had them losing to Tennessee and going 8-4 again, which they've done all 3 years. And I don't know if that's enough to keep Kevin Sumlin's job. So I really think Tennessee is a game they have to win. You know, at home, Tennessee hasn't looked great this year, and A&M's been better than people expected. I think I'm going to have to pick A&M, as much as I my gut tells me that the Tennessee voodoo is just too much to resist. You know, I think A&M has to win this one because they need to pick up that ninth win. And, you know, if you don't win this one, then you either have to beat Ole Miss, Alabama, or LSU for one of those wins.
How much fun is it to watch Christian Kirk play?
It's a lot of fun. And he's a great kid to cover and to talk to. He's so quick. And the Aggies have really used him to, you know, he's been a short yardage guy. You know, he'll get hit on the quick slants with Trevor Knight. And the A&M offense is really simple for Knight. They want him to make throws he can make. They don't want him forcing too many passes. But on the occasions where they air it out and let Christian Kirk go deep, just fun to watch a guy that speed go out there and go catch the ball.
And one more, in a situation like this, and you're talking about dinged up injuries, Myles Garrett's going to make 8 or 9 figures worth of career earnings. Does that leave anybody a little uneasy when you're starting to talk about injuries to a guy with that kind of future?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I think if that was the case, I don't think he would have came back against Arkansas. It looked like he was kind of dinged up. And at that point, you wonder, you know, all right, well, should I just go ahead and, you know, just call it a day? And, you know, he came back out, toughed it out, and was a big part of that win against Arkansas, a game they needed to win. Just knowing Miles and, you know, having talked to his family a little bit and the people around him, I don't see Miles being that kind of guy. And I don't think football players are to that point yet. You know, you're talking about Leonard Fournette sitting out this year, or, you know, maybe taking it easy. And maybe LSU has, knowing how much money he can make. But, you know, with Miles, you know, sitting out, I think he's going to want to do try to do everything he can to have a great year at A&M and then go pro. So I think if he's healthy, I think he was healthy enough to go last week. I think A&M just used South Carolina as a rest game and just basically rested anybody that may be hurt a little bit, because they know how tough it's going to beat a really good Tennessee team, one of the best that the Vols have had in quite some time. So I would bank on Myles Garrett being there if he can throughout the season.
You're listening to Ben Baby, who covers Texas A&M for the Dallas Morning News. You're listening to him here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Ben, if I could take you back a year, I've always thought that last year's Texas A&M team would be a great subject for one of those 30 for 30s. What in the world happened with the whole Kyle Allen, Kyler Murray dynamic, and how did everything blow up last year at that position?
Man, that's a million-dollar question, as they say. I wasn't here last year, but from what I understand, it was just kind of, You know, it was just, you've got two high-profile quarterbacks, and you've got a thing where basically both quarterbacks ended up upset and wanted to leave. And, you know, ultimately they fired the offensive coordinator, Jake Spavadal, who's doing a great job at Cal now, ended up being the fall guy for that whole situation. But, you know, I think there was a lot to be learned from that on all accounts. And I think, you know, I think A&M would have been better suited, especially to keep Kyle Allen, because I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Kyler Murray is I don't think y'all understand how much of a legend Kyler Murray is in Texas. I mean, he was the best high school quarterback, and I covered high school sports here for about 5 years in Texas at various papers. The most famous high school quarterback we've had, I would say, in the 21st century, you know, going back 16 years. I mean, Kyler was an absolute stud. So he had all this hype coming into A&M. You know, Kyle Allen had a bunch of hype coming in as a five-star, and it just didn't pan out. I mean, you got Trevor Knight, a guy who lost his job in Oklahoma and now is, you know, trying to prove something. You know, and so, you know, I think there were a lot of mistakes made on both sides between multiple parties. We don't have time to get into all of that. But I think everyone's kind of learned, and it's interesting. You got a bunch of guys in this A&M team this year, from the coaching staff to the players, mm-hmm. all trying to prove that, you know, they have what it takes to make it at the top level of college football, which makes this a really fun year.
And then, Ben, finally, we've got a lot of listeners that will be going to College Station for the first time. What should Tennessee fans, what would be your advice for Tennessee fans traveling down to the game as far as whether it's traffic or places to eat? What would be your advice for Tennessee fans coming down?
Ooh, that's a good question. It depends. If you're coming in on the way, if you're flying into Houston, there's a lot of good barbecue around there, so try to pick up some of that on the way in. College Station's got, if you can find some good Tex-Mex out here, there's a little taqueria I like called Jesse's. They got some good breakfast tacos if you're getting in early for game day. I'm still trying to explore the town myself. So there's a lot of, you know, I think it's your traditional college town. There's with some decent spots here and there, but I would definitely get here early, with college game day coming in here, Saturday. Game day loves Tennessee. And so they're here this weekend again. And I mean, I expect this town to be packed. So get here early. It should be a fantastic game. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what happens, and I think we'll learn a lot about Tennessee and A&M on Saturday.
Well, Ben, great job, and thank you for sharing your Aggies knowledge with us up here in Chattanooga.
Hey, thank you all for having me. Pleasure's all mine.
All right, Ben Baby does a great job covering Texas A&M for the Dallas Morning News. He joins us here on Press Row. We'll reopen the Hardee's hotline. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.